You're calling from regular phone?
Yep.
Yeah, last time I had a lot of static, and I was hoping I wasn't going to get it this time. No, it's just real funny that our paths didn't cross because I'm the Baltimore Skipjacks beat writer here.
Is that right?
And my paper me to Rochester to cover the playoffs.
Oh, too bad.
And everybody kept saying, Lou Graham was in the press box. He had to be there. Anyway.
We had a great time.
What happened in the last game wasn't... It was in Springfield, right?
Yeah.
Game 6 was in Springfield, right?
Yeah.
Because my girlfriend at the time is from Rochester, and one of her buddies is from Rochester, and he was in town, and he was like, you got to call the paper and find out if they won or lost. And one in the morning, he found that they lost, and he had a heart attack because he's a season ticket holder.
Oh, no.
But I guess you guys had a better season than you thought you were going to have, at least.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even expect us to be there at the end.
How many games did you go to?
I think I caught about the last... out of the playoff games, I think I caught about 3 or 4 playoff games. I brought my dad and my kids and a bunch of friends, and we got rowdy. We had a good time.
I love the guy that stands at the one end and yells, hockey, hockey, hockey. He's the best. I've only been to one Amherst game, and that was 2 years ago when I was dating this girl from Rochester, and and we went up, but I love it. It's great.
You're an enthusiastic crowd, let me tell you.
So do you go to see Sabres games too? Or?
I've been to a couple, you know, but if I can, it's only like 50 minutes away from me, so it's nothing. How about a Congo?
So,
I haven't been to a Bills game yet, which I'm dying to go to.
In your life?
No.
I won't print that. Let's talk about your music, I guess. How long's the tour, and what exactly is going on? Because
it started June 1st in Minneapolis, and we're going right through August 12th. I think we end up in Seattle, I think.
So are you opening for Steve Miller? Or?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure, because it's sort of like co-build.
Well,
but you're doing the early part.
I mean, he gives us special guest kind of billing, but yeah, we start the show.
And how much time are you getting?
We get 50 minutes.
50 minutes, and you're doing most of your own stuff, or
doing 2 or 3 things from Ready or Not, 2 or 3 things from A Long Hard Look. I got a few Foreigner songs thrown in there, and we build a set pretty heavily.
So who is in the band? Which that's one thing that I can never figure out when people like you come out, because they always send me is like this album thing, which is a very pretty press packet, by the way. But
well put together, I know.
Yeah, but it just doesn't say who's on it, because you have 5 guitarists playing on your album or something.
Oh, well, one guitarist on it. Actually, Bruce Turgan on bass, who's been with me for years. My brother Ben Graham on drums. Larry Oakes on keyboards, who toured with Bad Company and also did the last Foreigner Far East tour. He moved up to the Rochester area, so he's a great guy and a great player. So he's with me now. And a guitar player, Scott McKinstry from Sacramento, who hasn't done a heck of a lot, but
spell that.
I can't spell it. McKinstry. McKinstry.
T-R-Y.
Yeah, T-R-Y. That's a good guess. But he's a great player. So, I mean, I'm sure you'll be hearing more.
So, was he like a second choice for Vivian or for Nils? Or?
I pursue Vivian, but he had River Dogs.
Right.
Coming out, so that kind of
just got that in the mail yesterday. As we
took a bash on that, but other than that, I went right to Scott because I knew he was every bit a good player.
Did you talk to Nils at all?
I did talk to Nils. I asked him if he was interested, and he was putting together a thing with Ringo Starr's All Stars.
Oh, that's right. They're going to go back out this summer.
They toured, and then they were going to do an album together. So by the time Nils called, we were already hitting the road.
So how much rehearsal did you do and stuff? Because I got your album. So I mean, I wore it out. I mean, I got it back in November, I think.
Yeah, it's been out a while now. We actually only rehearsed about 2.5 weeks for this tour because we didn't have to put that many songs together. We warmed up at a few local clubs in Rochester, and then we hit the road immediately in front of like 18,000 people in Minneapolis.
You say it like you're from Rochester. Because everybody else says Rochester, and you say Rochester.
Rochester.
So why do you still live there?
That's where I grew up. That's the only place that has really felt like home to me. I love, the community feel. There's a great music scene going on here, and it's just a very, very cool place to live.
Where exactly do you live? My girlfriend went to Geneseo.
Geneseo, I think, is a little bit south.
It's a lot south. It's like 30 miles, I think. But you live east or west?
I'm slightly east of Rochester.
To one of those funky Indian name places.
Yeah, along the lines of that, you know, the Ontario, Webster, whatever area. It's great. It's the greater Rochester area.
So why didn't you go out on the last album?
We actually did go out. We went out for about 5 or 6 shows, and we were in. There was such heavy competition with Dylan and Petty, and I forgot who the hell else was out. We really got buried ticket wise. Every place we went to, we just.
I heard that was a problem, but I didn't even know you put the thing together.
It was together. We had Patti Smyth opening for us.
Okay.
And it was we had a terrific package, and the people who we did play for, you know, the few shows we did play, we kicked butt. But ticket sales were such where the promoters were begging off, so we just packed it in.
I mean, how disappointed did that leave you?
Oh man, I was. Yeah, I didn't. I certainly. You know, we weren't doing arenas, and I wasn't expecting to put, you know, thousands and thousands of kids. But you know, I expected some sort of reasonable turnout, and I think it would have been. But we were always sandwiched in with, you know, these big name acts that had smash albums out, and it just seemed like the interest and the promotion wasn't quite there to put people in the seats.
Not to discourage you, but this summer is even worse. I mean, it's the worst I've ever seen.
Well,
I mean, as far as bands coming around.
I'll tell you what, I'm not discouraged because I'm only the special guest. It's Steve Miller is selling out. You know, he's selling out 80% of the places he plays at. So I'm better off in an opening act position where I can play in front of, you know, a lot of people. And I'm really enjoying it. I play 50 minutes of my favorite stuff. It's nonstop rock. And, you know, we just blow the place away and leave.
Is there going to come a point where you're going to come around and do some theaters in the fall with a 2-hour show?
I don't know. I think about it, but...
Do you want to do that, personally?
Do I want to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to, but I'm also concerned about a producer for my next album, kind of a timetable that I've got to set for myself so I can get some new music and build up my repertoire of songs so at some point that I can...
So is Foreigner dead at this point?
No, they still live. They've got a new singer.
They live without you.
Oh yeah, I don't know who it is, but their concern was getting an album out like right away, and then a huge tour in 1991, and I was like.
Do you have time to talk now, or are we on sort of like a time frame here?
I'm fine.
Okay, because I got a million questions. I mean,
hang on a second, okay?
Sure.
Hang on a minute, Nestor. Hang on.
Take it. Yeah, I just got a million questions that I've always...
Dude,
I get you on the phone, and I'll go crazy.
Nah, go ahead.
I sort of did this on other people, like Billy Joel once, too. now, Foreigner is dead from your standpoint. You were not invited back, or you...
Oh, no, we were working on songs. There was no, you know, invitation. I was still part of the band. It was... we were working on songs. We were starting to rehearse. The problem was we couldn't reconcile our time schedules. You know, they wanted to enter the studio immediately and start recording and have a big world tour. In 1991, and I mean that's like pressure on me to stop promoting my album, cancel my tour, and concentrate on Foreigner. I do one thing at a time, and I give it all my attention and the best that I have in me. If you know, it ended up being a conflict. It was like we would talk about priorities and. While my album is out and current, and I'm promoting it and touring on it, it is my priority.
But do you have their permission to do this last year when you went and did your own album? Did you say, I'm taking 2 years and I'm going to do this?
I don't need anybody's permission, really. There's no, you know, we're all big boys, and when Mick goes off and produces Billy Joel or
Eddie Van Halen,
whoever, no one asks, is this all right with you? You know, everybody just kind of goes about their business. When you do an album, you know, your professional obligation and your instinct is to talk to tabloids and press and radio stations and promote it and do a short tour and give it its best shot, which is what I'm doing. I can't, you know, I would not drop everything because everybody says, come on, we're going in the studio tomorrow. You know, I can't, I just can't do that. And it was an increasing amount of pressure on me to stop what I was doing so we could make a new Foreigner album.
When did this come about?
This is about 2 months ago. Now, we already had some songs written and stuff, but...
And they're going to use them with the other people, or are these not your songs?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so it's, you know, we basically, we just parted ways, that's all.
Is it fair to say you and Mick don't get along?
I don't think that's fair to say. I think we do get along.
Well, I just remember there was a point about 2.5 years ago, before Inside Information, when you were quoted, and I don't know if correctly or incorrectly, by, I think, Ken Talk or somebody, said that you guys were done, that you had said... that Foreigner no longer exists.
Yeah, well, there was that point, yeah. And it was reconciled, you know, just as a one more time type of situation and see if it worked.
And that was Inside Information? Was that one time?
Information, which is my least involvement in a Foreigner album, my least favorite Foreigner album. And I really didn't consider it. You know,
was your heart not in this? I mean, that's kind of what I got after three listens.
You know, I did my professional best, but was I moved and inspired? Nah.
Was there ever a tour on that? Because I didn't see one.
We actually did Japan and Australia, and we had a good time. You know, we toured Japan and Australia on Inside Information, and that was fun.
Was Say You Will your song or Mick's song?
That's a collaboration.
Was most of the stuff on there mixed stuff, or was it?
It was mostly mixed stuff. That's the least input I ever had.
It sounds a whole lot more like his solo album than it does your solo albums.
Yeah, Mick is. I mean, you know, I'm not saying. I think his taste in music is mellowing, and if he's the driving force behind Foreigner, then that's the way Foreigner's gonna go. That's not the band I want to be in. You know.
Is that pretty much how you felt before Inside Information? That,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, was Mick running the show back with...
I could feel that happening during Agent Provocateur. I'm, you know, all the attention is going towards the love songs and our great, you know, the hot-blooded type singles. They either weren't there or no one was paying any attention to them. You know, the things like Gin and Stuff, it's like, come on, you know. But no, it's the ballads that were getting all the attention. It's like, oh, God.
With Agent Provocateur, is that one of your favorite albums?
No, it's not.
I really like that album. I thought that was
a fine album.
Your best stuff. I mean,
I think it's great stuff, but it's not my favorite stuff. Now, if you back up one more album, you'll be talking about my favorite stuff.
So you like four?
Yeah.
And now, like, off of Agent Provocateur, stuff like Reaction to Action, was that...
Cool, I love that stuff. But
and Tooth and Nail, and...
Does anybody know it besides you and me?
I don't know, but I certainly have turned my friends on to it.
Yeah.
We were at the beach last week, and I listened to that album, and 6 years gone now, I listened to that album more than listen to anything.
Yes, sir. To me, that could have been a smash single. But it wasn't. It didn't even get any attention. So all I'm saying is, as the band started heading towards a softer direction, that's when I was feeling less satisfied with being a part of it.
What was the music like from your band before, Black Sheep?
Oh, it was very raucous stuff. It was like Humble Pie. It was like Free. It was very...
I've never heard it. I've seen it in the record store one time, but it's like completely overpriced because it's rare now.
Riff-oriented... It was very raw stuff.
So what direction are you going in with the next album? I mean, you're just going to keep going with this sound that you got on this one?
No, not necessarily. I think the second album sounds pretty different than the first album. And I think this new album, I'm not sure. I'm looking for a real brash kind of heavy rock-oriented producer right now. You know, I think Long Hard Look is a great album. It's a little bit poppy, and I don't know which way I'm going to go, but I know that I'm going to bite down real hard again.
Why haven't you gotten a second hit off of this album? I mean, True Blue, you released.
Yeah, that's a nice song. Nobody went for it. I have no idea.
I heard it at the beach once last week, but I've never heard it on AOR here.
It's a cool song, but it was the wrong choice. I think I'll Come Running should have been the second single.
What about Hanging on My Hip?
Hanging on My Hip would be great. Hanging on My Hip's in the movie Navy SEALs that's coming out.
Navy SEALs?
Yeah. It's a new movie with Charlie Sheen.
Is it going to get released?
I don't know. the movie's going to be released. I don't know if they're. I don't know what they're going to do with Hank.
It's just funny how you know the more people I talk to, and I talk to five rock stars a week. It's like you guys go in and you put this album out, and you just don't know what the hell is going to happen to it. You know.
It's for a large part of it. At that point, is out of our hands. People, you know, people say, "Well, you know, radio wants this." Everybody says this is a hit. Then they put it out, and nothing happens. And the one that you the one that I might instinctively feel is gangbusters will never see the light of day. You know,
yeah, like Reaction to Action or Tooth and Nail.
I thought Reaction to Action, if that would have been put out as a single, would have been number one. It would have been made at least the top 10 and just stayed there for weeks. It was such a smash. No one knows what that song is, you know?
I think there was a lot of stuff on the second side of that album.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't like Agent Provocateur, but that's when I started to feel the band softening up and going more for that that kind of adult contemporary vibe. And I was going like, oh, no.
Well, how into Inside Information was Mick? I mean, how into it were you guys as a unit?
I think he was basically he was trying to do it all himself. I was there. I co-wrote some songs. I sang.
So you were being whored for your voice.
That's pretty. Well, I would never say that, and I would never own up to it. But you know, actually, the involvement. I didn't know if I wanted to be any more involved in that because stuff that I was bringing in wasn't getting much attention. I knew we were gonna end up doing, you know, most of Mick's songs. You know. Again, so basically I played my team part, you know, I'm part of the team.
But if it were inevitable, as, like, I guess you see it now, why didn't you know then? The first time you guys broke up.
I was asked by the record company and by the guys in the band, please will you do this album with us? And I said, yeah, I will, because I like them all. I still like them. You know, I worked with them so long. I still felt that the band had something to say musically. I was trying to reconcile our differences if they could accept the fact that I also have a solo career. They led me to believe that it was fine, you know, that I had a solo career, you know, as long as I could still give attention to Foreigner. And that's how it worked for the next two or three years until just this last couple months when, once again, My solo career seemed to be getting in the way of Foreigner's plans. And so why should we go through years and years of antagonizing each other when the simple solution is you either do one or the other? And basically, I decided to do this, and they've got a new singer, so I think it's going to work out the best for everybody.
Realistically, you could have gone in the studio in September with them, or they weren't going to wait through the summer?
Realistically, I would have been ready to do that, but they were impatient and wanted to do it now. So, you know, they threw the ball back to me. It's like, make a choice. And I did.
Are you happy with this choice so far?
I'm thrilled with it. I feel a tremendous weight off my shoulders. I mean, I'm very proud of everything I've done with Foreigner, but, you know, I feel rediscovered. I'm discovering who I am, who I'm all about, what I want to do musically, how I want to present myself on stage. I got players around me that are terrific players, and we sound like a hot rock and roll band. And I'm happier than I've ever been.
So what Foreigner songs are you doing in your show? Just hits.
We're doing Dirty White Boy. We're doing Jukebox Hero, and I think we're going to do Hot Blooded.
You're not going to do Reaction to Action?
No, because I don't think anybody would know that song.
Right. You're just going to do hits then?
Yeah, I'll just do a couple hits and mix them in with some of my hits, a couple classic rock songs, and leave everybody knowing where Lou Gramm is headed, musically.
So you are going to go straight to the studio in the fall and.
Yeah, and I should have something new out sometime early next year, and then I'm gonna pound the road again.
So you don't feel like this album's gonna take off at all? You feel like it's on the dying edge after Just Between You and Me?
Actually, it's been out since October, Nestor. So it's you're talking about what, 8 months already?
Right.
Yeah, that's a long time for an album. It got a lot of airplay. Angel with a Dirty Face got a lot of airplay. True Blue, even though it wasn't a big hit, you know, it was a semi-hit. Just Between You and Me did fantastic. I think Hanging on My Hip, once that movie comes out, that's going to be on a soundtrack. So it is getting a lot of attention. Tin Soldier got a tremendous amount of airplay. So, you know, there's no there's not an abundance of big top 10 hits on it, but overall radio saturation, people really love that album. I mean, I'm playing stuff on this album that people are not familiar with, and they're still going nuts over it. Makes me feel great. They're digging it.
Are you getting a Foreigner crowd or a Steve Miller crowd?
I think it's hard to say because, you know, I stayed and watched Steve, and there, you know, people are all singing along and stuff like that, but it's not an old hippie crowd. It's a very young crowd. I would say that the average age of these guys is late teens, early 20s in the audience.
What's Steve doing? Is he doing his hits? Because last year, a couple buddies of mine went and saw it. He did all his blues stuff.
No, all hits.
It's all hits?
He's doing all hits.
Because he did that all Born to be Blue, that album. Great album, by the way.
Very cool.
Great low light, you know. He's soft music, but
he lays a little bit in there, but he gives everybody the hits, and everybody knows all the words. But I mean, when we hit the stage too, they're ready for it. They're singing along with Midnight Blue. They know the words to Just Between You and Me. I Treat Him to Dirty White Boy. They go crazy. You know, Jukebox Hero. They're all shaking their fists. You know, I feel good at this point. You know, I mean, Foreigner was a big part of me too, and I've got my own career now, so I'm doing terrific.
What about some of the older songs that you're not doing? Hot Blooded, you're not doing, right? Double Vision.
Yeah, I'm doing Hot Blooded.
Well, like Double Vision, some of the stuff that you might consider the hits, like I Want to Know What Love Is, and
I would never do I Want to Know What Love Is because I didn't write it. I think that would be an insult to Mick. I'm doing stuff that I had big input in. Dirty White Boy was kind of my conception. Jukebox Hero, you know, came from me. He helped me with that song.
Urgent? No.
No, Urgent? That's Mick. I wouldn't do that, even though it's a classic Foreigner song, and I would love to see shit out of it. I wouldn't do it because that's his song, and I'd be slighting him. You know what I mean? For me to do I Want to Know What Love Is, that's mercenary. I would never insult him by doing that. You know, that's his stuff.
What about That Was Yesterday? His? See, you get co-titles in a lot of these songs, and no one knows whose song it is.
Yeah, that's more of his song than mine. I put in a lot on That Was Yesterday, and I like that song a lot, but that's really mixed conception.
See, it's sort of like the Lennon McCartney thing where you go back and listen to 50 of these songs, and you have no clue, except for Lennon McCartney themselves, whose song it was.
James, I could do that. I might do that. That's more mine, you know.
What about the other stuff off of 4? What was the first song on the album on 4?
Urgent.
Not Urgent. I'm thinking maybe Nightlife. How about that?
Nightlife?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really put much thought into that. That's a cool one, though. That's a cool one.
Well, you got a lot of cool ones, and I'll let you go because I'm probably boring you to death. All right. Well, I'll find you.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Lou.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.